Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yamuna Kira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jayom Vishnupad Paramahamsa. Harivinagacharya Astatarastasi Srimad His Divine Grace is the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Anantakoti Vaishnavarinda ki Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki Gaur Premanandi. A little quieter here this morning, but it's going to get ramped up again real soon. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 35. Canto 10, Chapter 22. Etavas janmasa palyam dehinam iha dehisho pranayar artayar diya vacha shreya acharanam sada etavaj janmasa palyam dehinam iha dehisho pranayar artayar diya vacha shreya acharanam sada etavaj janmasa palyam dehinam iha dehisho pranayar artayar diya vacha shreya acharanam sada ladies go ahead Dehinam iha dehisho pranayar artayar diya vacha You're passing. Ladies. Etavaj janmasa palyam Dehinam iha dehisho pranay aktaya diya vacha shreya acharanam sada etavaj janmasa palyam dehinam iha dehisho Pranayar artayar diya vacha Shreya acharanam sada Etavaj janmasa palyam Dehinam iha dehisho Pranayar artayar diya vacha Shreya acharanam sada etavat up to this janma of birth sapalyam perfection dehinam of every living being iha in this world dehishu toward those who are embodied. Pranai, by life. Artai, by wealth. Dhyā, by intelligence. Vacha, by words. Shreyaha, eternal good fortune. Acharanam, acting practically. Sada, always. Translation. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. And one line purport says, this translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 9.42. So let's go to Adi 9.42. Because there's a lengthy purport. 49:42. There are two kinds of general activities, Shreyas are activities which are ultimately beneficial and auspicious, and Prayas are those which are immediately beneficial and auspicious. For example, Prabhupada's favorite example. Children are very fond of playing. They don't want to go to school to receive an education, and they think that to play all day and night and enjoy with their friends is the aim of life. Even in the transcendental life of Lord Krishna, we find that when he was a child, he was very fond of playing with his friends of the same age, the cowherd boys. He would not even go home to take his dinner. Mother Yashoda would have to come out to induce him to come home. Thus, it is a child's nature to engage all day and night in playing, not caring even for his health or other important concerns. This is an example of prayas, or immediately beneficial activities. But there are also shreyas, or activities which are ultimately auspicious. According to Vedic civilization, a human being must be God-conscious. He should understand what God is, what this material world is, who he is, and what their interrelationships are. This is called shreyas, or ultimately auspicious activity. Paragraph. In this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that one should be interested in shreyas. To achieve the ultimate goal of shreyas, or good fortune, one should engage everything, including his life, wealth, and words, not only for himself, but for others also. However, unless one is interested in shreyas in his own life, he cannot preach of shreyas for the benefit of others. Paragraph. This verse, cited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, applies to human beings, not to animals, as indicated in the previous verse by the word manusha janma. These injunctions are for human beings. Unfortunately, human beings, although they have the bodies of men, are becoming less than animals in their behavior. This is the fault of modern education. Modern educators do not know the aim of human life. They are simply concerned with how to develop the economic condition of their countries or of human society. This is also necessary, the Vedic civilization considers, all aspects of human life, including dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But humanity's first concern should be religion. To be religious, one must abide by the orders of God. But unfortunately, people in this age have rejected religion, and they're busy in economic development. Therefore, they will adopt any means to get money for economic development. One does not need to get money by hook or crook. One needs only sufficient money to maintain his body and soul. However, because modern economic development is going on with no religious background, people have become lusty, greedy, and mad after money. They are simply developing the qualities of rajas and tamas, neglecting the other quality of nature, sattva, and the brahminical qualifications. Therefore, the entire society is in chaos. Final paragraph. The Bhagavatam says that it is the duty of an advanced human being to act in such a way as to facilitate human society's attainment of the ultimate goal of life. There is a similar verse in the Vishnu Purana, part 3, chapter 12, verse 45, which is quoted in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita as the next verse, text 43. The Sanskrit is different, but the translation is quite similar. By his work, thought, and words, An intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all living entities in this life and in the next. And much shorter purport. Unfortunately, people in general do not know what is to take place in the next life. To prepare oneself for his next life is common sense, and it is a principle of the Vedic civilization. But presently, people throughout the world do not believe in a next life. Even influential professors, he hasn't mentioned the name in this case, and other educators say that as soon as the body is finished, everything is finished, this atheistic philosophy is killing human civilization. People are irresponsibly performing all sorts of sinful activities. Thus, the privilege of the human life is being taken away by the educational propaganda of the so-called leaders. Actually, it is a fact that this life is meant for preparation for the next life. By evolution, one has come through many species of four forms, and this human form of life is the opportunity to promote oneself to a better life. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 9:25, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, etc. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors. And those who worship me will live with me. Therefore, one may promote himself to the higher planetary systems, which are the residence of the demigods. One can promote himself to the Pitriloka. One can remain on earth, or one can go back home, back to Godhead. This is further confirmed by Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Chaktva Deham Purnarjanma Naiti Mameti Sorjana. After giving up the body, one who knows Krishna in truth does not come back again to this world to accept a material body, but he goes back home, back to Godhead. This knowledge is in the Shastras, and people should be given the opportunity to understand it. Even if one is not able to go back to Godhead in one life, the Vedic civilization at least gives one the opportunity to be promoted to the higher planetary systems where the demigods live and not glide down again to animal life. At present, people do not understand this knowledge, although it constitutes a great science, for they are uneducated and trained not to accept it. This is the horrible condition of modern human society. As such, the Krishna consciousness movement is the only hope to direct the attention of intelligent men to a greater benefit of life. The context of this verse from chapter 22 is Krishna has, he's with his really, really young cowherd boyfriends, the Priyanarmasakas, little boys, and they were with him when Krishna did the stealing of the garments of the gopis. That's how the chapter begins. And then after that, they go on, because this, that was really early in the morning, in winter time. The gopis had just completed their vrata, Katyayani vrata, to get Krishna as the husband. And Krishna understood their hearts, and Krishna did what he did. And then there you go off with the calves and cows, whichever it was. This age of life is probably cows. And Krishna sees the trees, you know, the whole scene, it's summer. Whoops, not summer, because it's still winter. And he sees the whole situation and speaks about how the trees are sages. Just see Balaram with his arm over Balaram's shoulder. How these trees are honoring you, this and that and the other, and they're bowing down before you, honoring you, laden with their bounty on the trees, the fruits and flowers. Surely these are great sages. And then comes this verse. And often quoted is the third line, pranayar artaya diya vacha. I heard Srila Prabhupada, I remember hearing Srila Prabhupada speak in New York on this verse. And his point specifically was, these four are tests of our preaching. One of the tests of our preaching is people give their life to Krishna's service. And that's one of the fruits that may come from our preaching. So we look to see how is the fruit of our preaching. And then comes wealth. Well, if they don't give their life, they can give some of their wealth to help those who are giving their life to the mission of awakening conditioned souls and so forth. And they can give their diya, their intelligence. But minimally, and Prabhupada was explaining like this, memorable message, at least this much, when people interact with us as devotees or with devotees, they should leave saying, the Hare Krishna people are nice. It's like, you know, the way that book distribution should have been done, and through, you know, an era of it not being done and book distribution falling into the ocean of forgetfulness, and reviving this book distribution. All the new book distributors are trained that you leave people with a good impression. I mean, they should minimally, as Prabhupada was saying, they should not just book distribution when somebody comes to the temple or whatever, when they meet you wherever you are. Hare Krishna people are nice. That much. Giving their words. It's in our audience here, there's some people that know about marketing, and I know very little about marketing, but I know that if people have a bad impression, there's some large number of people that find out about that bad impression, and if there's a good impression, there's a fewer number, but that's how marketing works, that people get a good impression. They say, this is a good place, or this is a good doctor, or this is something, this is good. And by you know, then technology just enhances it through social media, likes. And oh, there's so many likes, let me go check it out. So, a responsibility, this was the message that Prabhupada was presenting, a responsibility that we carry when we're representing the Hare Krishna movement. We may not necessarily be going out and meeting people with dhoti and sari and tilak. We may be in the workplace, we may be in the marketplace, we may be in an airplane, we may be wherever we may be. And even if they don't know that you're a Hare Krishna person in the workplace or in the marketplace or in school or wherever somebody is, if they have the impression, this person is very nice, that's good. That's beneficial. It's if you're a devotee, if you're carrying Krishna bhakti, and the impression that people have is like that, that's beneficial for that person. It's a service to that person, even if you don't speak the message of Bhagavad Gita or Krishna Bhakti message or something, there's something about this individual. That's what brings, I've had it told to me by people that work in the workplace, that when somebody is modeling, profiling the character and quality of a devotee, people in the workplace notice it. And at least a couple different responses are, they recognize this person is different. And they may speak kind words about this person that's different, or go right to the person and say, you know, you're different. What's your secret? I've had some devotees describe like that. Like, you know, in the workplace, people are always backbiting and criticizing and fault finding and this thing and that thing, and you don't do any of that. You know, and we go to you with a problem because it's production time, and rather than blaming and each, you're just there taking care of the problem. And so we come to you for like, what's next? And you've already thought it through and you already have what's next. Like, what's your secret? Sometimes they'll directly ask the person. Or here's another one. Sometimes in life there's a calamity. And in the workplace, they want a shoulder to lean on. So they go to the person that they say, you know, you're a spiritual person. They may not say it so explicitly, but you're a spiritual person. I just had this tragedy. What do I do? You're always very calm and peaceful, and you handle difficulties very well. I want to hear from you. What should I do? Then, of course, you don't like stand on your desk and give them a Bhagavad Gita class. You speak in an appropriate way to the person depending upon everything, time, place, circumstance. But you can give a Krishna bhakti message, appropriate in proper terms, language, and suitability for the person. And there's, I'm not a doctor or a guy in the, you know, one of the cubicles in the workplace. But people that have those professions describe, that's their experience. And if they're, the more they're in the workplace or in school or whatever is the stage of life someone's passing through, the more they're in Krishna consciousness, the more likely those kinds of interactions are going to happen. So that way, even if you don't speak Bhagavad Gita's message explicitly, directly, if you model it, it's a good service. You're carrying bhakti and you're transmitting, broadcasting bhakti, giving to others. And you'll get in trouble in the workplace because you're preaching, you're proselytizing, you're just being. And it's effective. It's one way of serving others. So now back to when we're in the role, whether we're in devotional clothes or not, but we're in the role of representing our founder Acharya and the bhakti message and Bhagavad Gita. Minimally, this was Prabhupada's message once again, minimally people should say, oh, this person is very nice. Then they want to know, sometimes they want to know, what's it resting on? Why is this person so very nice? Or they may see, you know, this person used to be a little angry, and now they're peaceful. So what's your secret? Whatever. That's of the four, minimally that much. And then we can go back up. And so it's not just our whole mission is make more devotees that give their life to Krishna. That's nice. And there's going to be people that don't give their life to Krishna, like we might dream that would be really nice if they could. But if any one of these others, they're measures of how we're doing in our moving about the world. In Jiva Goswami's commentary on this verse, he speaks the same way. This is listed in a hierarchy. the superlative is Prabhupada had that effectiveness that he just met all kinds of people, and so many people, gosh, so many people by his association just left things behind. I was always curious. I was some time ago, I had a large book table in front of the student union building at the University of Texas in Austin. It was a really good spot because at that school, all the students get their mail at the student union. So practically every day, or mostly, students go into that and out of that building. It was like a really good spot, and a really wide sidewalk. So it was like a really good spot. And somebody came by and looked at me like I was a ghost or something and said, "Are you Hare Krishna?" I said, "It's not Halloween." And they said, "Oh, the Hare Krishna people, there was a celebrity kind of like, even before people knew what a guru was, this guy was a guru on campus. He was in such and such department, and he had a lot of people that were at his feet hearing from him. And he heard that the founder of your organization was going to Dallas, so he went to Dallas, and he got so inspired, he came back, wrapped up his stuff, and moved into the Dallas temple, just like kaboom. And he was like a celebrity. And when that celebrity professor moved into the temple, he didn't just like, you know, got a teaching job somewhere in Dallas. He just moved into the temple, this, you know, first one. And a lot of other of his people that were at his feet, students, they followed their leader, and they moved into the temple. And it was just meeting Prabhupada, like, kaboom. Prabhupada was so powerful. There's so many. I was a little slower, but you know, it just that one interaction with Prabhupada on my campus, everything changed. Have you heard the Badahari story? How he became a devotee? I was attending a japa retreat once with Badahari and Kosharupa, and we're having prasadam together, and you know, he doesn't talk about himself, but his wife likes to talk about him. So Kosharupa was saying, "This fellow here, my husband, you know, he had gone to this prestigious, I forget the name, music school." Did you ever have this conversation about Hari Subal? Subal went to music school too. So he went to a music school. He graduated from music school. He was part of a band. Soon after he graduated, they went on tour around Europe for several months, and he was like this celebrity on his way to a fantastic music career. And then he came back to Los Angeles. At the Los Angeles airport, he got a book. I forget which was the title. Maybe it was Bhagavad Gita. And when he got back to his home, he read Bhagavad Gita, and he liked it so much. He looked in the back, found the address of the L.A. temple, went to the L.A. temple, found that Prabhupada was going to come visit. And the next day, he just packed his bags and moved into the temple. Prabhupada hadn't even visited yet, just reading the book, visiting the temple with its liveliness and the deities and everything, and that was it. And there was no turning back. No, those were the days. The days have changed, that's fine. But, you know, just pranayama. So if, whether it's like, you know, fast lane or middle lane or slow lane, whatever it is, whatever the, it's wonderful when people give their life. And give your life doesn't mean, then it meant, you know, you got to live in the temple, otherwise you're not giving your life. There was this term, there wasn't congregation, It was called Fringes. Anyway, Hare Krishna. So, pranayar, artayar, dia, vacha. And then, so both of these purports from Chaitanya Charitamrita to speak about Shreyas and Prayas, because that's in the last line, Shreya, acharanam sada. So, another one of Prabhupada's favorite topics. Children like to play, and then they don't understand, you know, the longer term requirements of life, and those that are well-wishers of them, their parents and others, want them to understand education is important because you're not always going to be a child. You're, at some stage of your life, you have to have a responsible way of living your life. So because people don't know that, they stay in this prayas, and so nice concession or a fact, Prabhupada is writing here, education is important, career is important, that aspect of life is important, but it's not all in all. And if one doesn't know what's that for and how to do that in a way that it's for the ultimate good, then the Shreyas part, Jigyasu Shreya Uttama, Shreya Uttama, that the ultimate benefit of the living entity is unknown. Just a little sharing. Is this a China topic? To be a member of the Communist Party, they don't put their hand on the Holy Scripture, but they have to take an oath that says, I have no religious affection. To be a card-carrying communist, to be a member of the Communist Party, and that's the ruling party. I know some people who are part of the Communist Party, and they're Hare Krishna devotees. But it's a requirement. You know, not only they don't know, forget it, man. Whatever you think you know, forget it. Repeat after me. Take an oath. And that, so that it leads to economic prosperity for some time, but the piety, this is like my sense of what's going on in China today. They're drawing upon the ancient culture because culture and wisdom, even the atheistic culture and wisdom that doesn't lead to the personality of Godhead and his loving devotional service because, you know, they don't have such acharyas, is to awaken that. That's what they're drawing upon. That's their prosperity, but surely as that diminishes, the pious merit from doing that pious activity that's following wisdom and higher culture, it's going to disappear. Economic prosperity and all the other stuff that they're up to. There's lots of other stuff they're up to, like control. But, and they're smart. Gosh, they're smart. Anyway. And culture is culture, and wisdom is wisdom. But atheism is not the purpose of this. People that are atheists hear this, and they, you know, they apply an atheistic principle. But it doesn't sustain, as just mentioned. You know, America, in God we trust. Now, you can't say that anymore. It was there uh, in courtrooms, and now it has to disappear. In God we trust. The separation of church and state. It's very. I'm waxing into storytelling, but I hope it's okay. Just to illustrate the point. Some years ago, in Boston, a group of us were invited to the home of Harvey Cox. Harvey Cox is no longer with us, but a Harvard Divinity professor in Christianity. I don't know which brand of Christianity, but he wrote a book, The Secular State, or something, secular religion or secular state, secular religion. And he had just published the book, and we're in his home in Cambridge, and he was complaining that the Christian religion has become secular, like the government is secular. And so that's not how Christianity started, but it has become like that. There's the separation of what you do in the place of worship and what you do in your life. And it wasn't like that. And he said, one of the things I like most about this practice is it's very ancient and it's not secular. You don't make this division between this, you know, over in this pocket is for God and over in this pocket is for my family and my economic development. And, you know, they're inseparable. They're seamless. That's our theology. So we have to be careful to sustain that and not go the other direction. The pendulum has a tendency to move in that direction. And so our founder, Acharya, has given us a life that's, whether it's over on this side and that side or in the middle, it's connected to Krishna, and that's how it should be, like this verse. Krishna is just speaking about trees and saying they're like sages. And they're sages because they're like sages. They're just serving others. It's, you know, like Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Iva Sahishnana. The Taror Iva Sahishnana is not just tolerant, but you continue to serve and 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 continue to serve. Even if this and that and the other thing, you just continue to serve because, and these are ways in which we serve and serve whom. So, not just modern time, it's amplified in modern time, even during Prahlad Maharaja's time. Na te vidu svarta katim hi Vishnu. Another often quoted section of the Bhagavatam by our founder Acharya. People don't know. And they don't want to know. Those of us that are out in the preaching field have learned you got to be really careful these days with how you say what you say. You know, the God word it's a kill switch for some people. It's just, you know, it's unfortunate. In God we trust land is you have to be really careful with the God word. You know, and after some time, Krishna comes out of the box. But it's just like certainly there are some people that are not like that. Now, Prabhupada didn't do that. He didn't hide God or hide Krishna. He's like, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of the challenges some time ago was Prabhupada's publishing of the Krishna book. And it was printed in mass quantities, and it was the book that our book distributors had to distribute. We were going, gosh, how are we going to do this? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. So most people didn't know who Krishna was. That was, you know, then. people would see the cover. They go, oh, who's that? You know, that's God. They hand the book back. That can't be God. Why can't it be God? Well, it can't be God because it can't be God. It can't look like that. Why it can't look like that? So, to give the message of Krishna consciousness to others is, that's the Shreya. And somehow, the consciousness of all human beings, those with the human form of life, is to somehow give that. And the somehow becomes, you know, delicate, you know, requires some refined discretion how to best do that in our modern times. Cast a big net, pull everybody in, and see the people that want to know about Krishna or something about, you know, the Shreya principle. One more thing, just, I'm in a mood this morning to tell stories, so I just received from, some of you know, Prakash Govindan. He was a graduate from the MIT program. He got his PhD at MIT, and when Advaita Chandra had to move because of his job, Prakash took responsibility for the MIT program. And in Boston, well, in all of Massachusetts, they have a holiday from college that no other state in the Union has a holiday that day. It's Patriots Day. It has nothing to do with the football team. It's just Patriots Day. It's in April. So he arranged this program that he was using social media to promote the program, Body, Mind, Spirit Festival. And people came not knowing that they were going to a Hare Krishna farm. You know, the deities were behind a curtain, you know, not just the curtain kept closed, but they had a curtain in front of the curtain. But it was like really clear what was going on. And over there is Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. And, you know, these are college kids. They put two and two together and came up with four. And, you know, they were talking amongst themselves. And then when they got back to Tufts University and Brandeis University and this place, that place, they kind of ranted about, you know, we weren't told. Because the God word didn't come out in the promotion. And, it, you know, we were careful about how we spoke, knowing that. So now there's a guidelines. This is, you know, this second time around. Guidelines, and God comes out of the box in the guidelines. You know, it's subtle, not like in their face, not like Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on the cover. But it's there, and the Maha Mantra, and, you know. So let's see what happens. Because we don't want people going back and saying, oh, we were cheated. We don't want that. Because marketing says it's going to go to a lot of people that said, don't have anything to do with these people because they'll cheat you. I mean, we're trying to give them Shreyas, but we have to be, so it's a little refined, a little delicate. You know, one approach is just like Krishna's on the front cover and they have a smaller audience. That's another approach. That's a valid approach. But, you know, some outreach people want to reach a broader audience. And in that broader audience, those persons that have a good experience, they contact 10 people that say, hey, we had a good experience. Jilson, Stilson Judah, during Prabhupada's time, was a sociologist in California, Berkeley, somewhere, I think, University of California, Berkeley, or something like that. And he wrote a book based upon his interviews of devotees, a sociology book, indicating that many of the persons who had become devotees didn't become devotees by meeting a devotee. They came devotees by meeting somebody who had been to the temple. And they got a good impression from that person. They came to the temple and they became, this is like, you know, become full-time devotees. So the marketing principle is important. The people, the fourth one, vacha, they say good things. So we want people to say good things, because if you do it's just different approaches for different folks, different strokes for different folks, as the saying goes. We want people to not go and say, have nothing to do with those people because they're deceivers, or don't have anything to do with those people because they're just going to put God in your face. You know, we have to be time, place, circumstance sensitive, and we have this Shreya Achananam Sada concern. We want to give that to others in an effective way. That's our life. Not just Hare Krishna devotees' life, it's the life of all human beings. They should be thinking like that. Did you hurt your hand, Sabal? Your right hand, did you harm your hand? Just the body. Can you play mridanga anymore? Oh yeah? Do you take the bandage off? Okay. Okay, so any discussion? Little different kind of class this morning.
In this verse, the trees are being compared to sages. And in the purport that you read, and you were speaking that one of the tests of how our preaching works is when people of the world offer one of those four or all of those four. Would a complementary view of it be valid? That since the trees are sages, a test for a person following in the footsteps of those sages is that he or she is also offering these four for the welfare of the people?
Offering their...
These four?
Sure,
why not? For welfare of the people.
Why not?
So it's both ways, that we as devotees or followers of Prabhupada are offering our lives, wealth, intelligence, and words for the benefit of others.
Sure. But that's the test of the fruit of our founder Charya's impact on our lives as we're doing that. And, you know, so it's not really two ways. It's the same, another way of looking at the same thing. But it's the same thing. And I guess you can say it's two things. Anyone else? Over there.
Guru Maharaj, you said that Harvey Cox said Christianity earlier was not a secular religion. It's become now one. But we are not. So what makes a religion secular?
What
makes a religion secular? Because I do see a trend nowadays in the Hare Krishna movement too, that we have our practices, but there's also a parallel life that is not...
Well, it's very simple. It's the intention behind. You know the phrase that I use is the two-pocket program. It's called, this is for me, and this is for Krishna. And I make a distinction between what's for me and what's for Krishna. Me includes my family and my, you know, my stuff. And then over here is what I do for Krishna. I go to the church, you know, the Kanishtha Adhikari or Prakrita Bhakta, and that's what I do. That's where God is, and then the rest is over there. So the distinction is the stuff, the worldly portion of my life, that is meant for Krishna also. That is to be connected with Krishna also, not just the sadhana. Sadhana is to awaken that spirit that these things are all for Krishna also. My job, my study, my family, my car, my cell phone, my stuff. This is Krishna's and it's meant for service to Krishna. It's part of Krishna. And secular doesn't see that. There's two parts of my life. Separation of. Is that, you're looking like you don't get it.
No, I got your answer, but I think I need to process. There's something more, but I'll process and maybe write to you.
Okay. It's the intention behind what we do. It's the consciousness behind what we do. It's not per se what we do.
But I also feel that I've discussed this with you in the past. Does the lack of, like, or maybe certain social needs of the community when it's not met, does it prompt one to move towards the secular side of living a life? Because, like you said, we use everything in Krishna's service, there's everything in relation to Krishna. But I do see that times have changed, and
times have changed, no doubt. Have principles changed?
No.
Okay.
How do you address the social needs then of the members, because the times have changed?
Because why? Because I'm having a hard time hearing.
Okay.
That's why I'm looking at the speaker up there instead of looking at you. Because when I look at you, I'm not getting it.
Like a simple example, when I look at our children, I would say from the age maybe 9, 10 till they are young adults, 18, 19. In our organization, they're not relevant books for them, especially those from the age of 9 till 12, 13. You don't see the children, we having enough material or things to give children of that age. And that's a very crucial age. And when the shift happens, because then I don't have books to read, so I read Harry Potter and I read this and I read that.
I'm having a hard time hearing. It's not, your words, I'm sure, are intelligible, but the sound system is not allowing me to hear your words with clarity. I know, Subal went to adjust the thing, you know, it's not you, it's the sound system.
It's okay, I can write to you. I can write to you.
Okay. Sorry.
Thought Hemangi's...
You're going to restate what she was asking.
Well, I was thinking of something a bit similar. She was asking about the social, how to address the social needs, and also in terms of how to educate the children and the lack, as she was mentioning, of facilities or materials to be able to educate them in this Shreya Acharanam Sada, or the adjustments.
Yeah, that's a challenge of an educator.
Yes.
You know, that's the age group that you deal with in school, isn't it? Huh? But that's the challenge of an educator, how to reach the hearts and the minds of persons that have different needs because they're a different generation than my generation or the older generation. You know, it's that's the challenge of an educator or a parent or, you know, a sannyasi or, you know, a member of our organization, how to recognize differences of groups of people because of the influences upon them by whatever, technology and media and stuff and the world and chaos. And so that's the answer is, there's not a cookie cutter answer, it's the challenge of an educator. Recognize the need of the individual as best you can, and then according to, the principle that I've understood is this. First seek to understand before you seek to be understood. You know, and how is, you just take her situation or you know, any our congregation member's situation. We have this group of people in our congregation that are between this age and that age, and they're different. Their needs are different. And how to make Krishna conscious principles relatable and, you know, willing to take it on board. That's the challenge of a parent or an educator or someone that's trying to do this. Go ahead.
When I was thinking the question as she was asking, I was also thinking of a question in terms of as a society. You mentioned the example of Bhattacharyadas Prabhu and how, and you also mentioned in the class the result of people giving their life to Krishna consciousness. And, you know, that's a desired result. And also acknowledge that during Prabhupada's time, it was immediately, just by Prabhupada's contact.
Some. There's examples.
Some, yes. But now it may, you know, be longer term.
Fine.
So now the question I was thinking is, in one sense, even when Srila Prabhupada was not present, like when I joined, there was also
an
that
explosion.
Type of... Yeah. And... obviously, times changes, that's the point. But one thing that it came to question to me is you mentioned of the principles, and those principles, sometimes we see that right now because of the anxiety or the concern of a different time, sometimes we afraid, just like using, presenting, you know, ourselves as Hare Krishnas, but we have to, you know, have it.
So you're making an interesting commentary. What's the question?
The question is, are we missing something right now? As a society, are we...
Some people are, some people aren't. It depends on the consciousness behind. That's my, you know, bottom line understanding.
Can you elaborate on that, Guru Maharaj?
Yeah.
In terms?
Yeah. I'll give two examples that just to illustrate what I mean. I joined the Hare Krishna Temple in Boston. That was where I started. And there was this nice devotee named Karuna Moya who understood Prabhupada wanted college outreach to bring in educated people to help find leaders to help him in, you know, run the organization. So he decided, in the back of my mind, I thought, uh-oh, he decided to go to Amherst and become a student. Because as a student, he could then mix more freely with the students and help them to take the Krishna Bhakti through the relationships of being amongst them, a student. It was a strategy. And I thought, I was just like, you know, I'd been there for a few weeks. And I was thinking, uh-oh. He could just merge with them. Instead of giving association, he could take on their association and become like them. And that's what happened. So you lose, it's possible to lose the principle when you get involved in the detail. And so a second example, it has to do with this discussion we had during the winter retreat, this lovely experience we just had, in this matter of acceptance. And acceptance doesn't mean, we'll say it two ways. Acceptance doesn't mean just become a blob or somebody's punching bag, and anything is okay because you're just accepting. Nor does it mean, you know, the opposite. You just, you know, you retaliate because you're feeling victimized and you're not going to be victimized, so you go on a you know, declare war. And that, you know, you'll be really busy with lots of wars and fires and fighting. And so it's certainly, say the same thing, it's certainly possible if you're accepting, the behavior might look exactly like the behavior of somebody that's retaliating. But if you're not retaliating, but you're choosing, this is the situation, I've accepted the situation, and now I'm going to address in a thoughtful, proper, responsive way. It's like Krishna encouraging Arjuna to be a warrior. Killing is not good. Arjuna, I want you to kill. What? So, because there's a duty for some sector of society, and Arjuna is trained to that sector of society. When you get into just managing stuff, you can get lost. The principle can get lost. Go off to the college to become a student so you can help people become Krishna conscious. And you don't give association, you take their association. Or you're managing stuff, you know, whatever it is. What's important to me is, you know, having a proper adult life, and so I'm investing in my education. I know some young people that are in this space, and they can just get lost in that. Or go the other way, you know, I don't want to do that because it's just disturbance from my Krishna consciousness. So how do you, it's seeing the connection of all things with Krishna. It's this non-secular approach. Now, how to impart that to somebody that's, because everyone's different. We're going through different transition periods in life, not only age-wise, but, you know, one person to another person to another person due to so many factors. So how to stay fixed in the principle and act in a responsible way in terms of ourselves and those that are around us, you know, the concentric circles around us, the world and our family and, you know, the community, and in a way that we're being responsible to everyone, to other living entities. And we don't just get lost in that and forget the principle. And how to stay fixed in the principle while we're at the same time being respectful to other living entities appropriately. That's life. It's not easy. And it's easy to get lost in the temporary. And then the other mistake is to become an impersonalist. You don't care. The heck with it. Too much trouble. It's a fine line. What drives it is consciousness. And this is an important principle. And as Nityananda Prabhu said, it's something that we do and it's something that we try to help others receive. A life with Krishna at the center in these different ways. And it has to evolve by the awakening of our dormant Krishna consciousness and receiving it from the sources that we can receive it from. I think I'm going to end. I think I'm past ending. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.